Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back. And I'd like to welcome back someone who's been a guest on this podcast before. Ottavio, it is so great to have you again.
Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be here again. I feel at home. Whoa, it's amazing.
Could you maybe just, you know, real quick for the folks who haven't seen the other episode, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yes. Ottavio Santana, I'm from Brazil, but right now I live in Portugal. I am Java champion. I love to do open source. That's why I do a lot of open source contributions. I have been in the executive committee of Java since Java 8. So if you enjoy Java, I try to do my best. If you don't enjoy it, sorry. I try to do my best anyway. And I have been contributing heavily in the Java architecture specification around the persistence layer, more specifically to NoSQL database, where the idea is integrate with Java with amazing NoSQL database such as Cassandra itself. Mm-hmm. And one easy way to make easy to access the persistence layer using repository that is Jakarta Data.
Oh, Jakarta Data. That's right. I know. Yes. Yeah, I know you've worked on that one quite a bit. Yeah.
Yes. And guess what? It will be part of Jakarta E11 next year.
Oh, excellent. So now, Ottavio, we got you on because you have a new book coming out, right? It was, I'm trying to think, is it released? Is it today that it's actually released?
Yes, it's today. Because the best day to deploy anything is on Friday, right?
Right, of course. I realized that because a few days ago, when I first talked to you, I tried to go out and buy it and it said, sorry, this is not available until August 25th. So,
yes, I usually prefer my deploy on Fridays.
tell us a little about your book.
Oh, yes. The idea comes from this work with Java specifications, process, and of course, my experience in production, where I explain a little bit more about what, unfortunately, we don't cover enough. The persistence layer inside the application. I use Java, but you can apply these ideas through any language itself.
Oh, sure.
I explain the refactoring, the migration, especially because we do have a lot of amount of books around software design partners and the application side, refactoring and things like that. And on the database side, first, the refactoring is not so trivial like we do with application with the code, right?
Right.
You might need to do a migrations, things like that. We do have a huge challenge because when we do our first modeling in our application, it's usually the time that you don't know enough about it. Right. So
right.
How to handle with this kind of thing and the impact of design that are you going to use? For example, if you go to use repository, that is one impact. If you're going to use data access object, that is another impact. So unstructured module, that is trade off among all of those solutions. And furthermore, I will cover especially the type of Java frameworks covering NoSQL database and persistence in general. I mean, you can use those with reflection, but there is a cost and an impact and trade-off.
Right,
you can go through avoid reflection using something like Java notation processors.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're going to face trade-off. In summary, the idea is to put more light in the persistence layer, covering the migration, the impact, and especially the trade-off and the soft design and architecture.
Right. Right. You know, you bring up an interesting point there. You know, when you mentioned that there are a lot of books out there about like application building and application design patterns, but really it's that data layer where there's kind of a gap, you know, where you just don't see the same amount of information out there as you do on the application side. You know, that's something I've noticed too. And, you know, over the years of, you know, working with Cassandra and coaching other application teams on how to work with it properly, is that, yeah, that gap is very, very real for sure.
Yes. I mean, in my experience as consult and also working in several companies, and you might notice that too, the biggest mistake when we go to NoSQL database is modeling, right?
Right.
We're still trying to do the normalization process inside Cassandra and inside another NoSQL database, especially because nobody explained to us the impact that on production.
Right, right.
And nobody wants to tell the failure case. And I came up with this book saying, hey guys, I failed that step. You don't need to go through this way. I failed this step. I mentioned some ideas around legacy modernization, strategy to explore more CDC. But yes, hopefully it will help more and complete the gap of the documentation and guides on the database side.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So now, Ottavio, your book, you know, covers, you know, a little bit about, you know, some NoSQL databases, including Cassandra. You know, so how do you see Cassandra fitting into like the overall landscape of, you know, like Java application persistence?
Okay, I love Cassandra. I mean, Cassandra was the first database that I contributed.
Yeah.
And I'm super suspicious to answer anything about Cassandra because you'd be related with love.
Yeah.
I mean, I get emotional with Cassandra, but be honest, when you talk about high performance, scalable application, especially with vertical needs, I don't feel anything else than Cassandra. I mean, the maturity of the bank,
right.
There is a huge documentation using Cassandra. Right now, Cassandra was one of the first databases that put the documentations, modelings and type inside the documentation itself. Because what happened was, okay, there is a documentation and then I need to go through Stack Overflow, talk with colleagues about modeling.
Right.
And
right.
Some trade-offs around secondary index, I mean, and so on. And the point is Cassandra has a huge maturity, has a huge community, has a huge user case, has several samples around configuration. It's much easier to scaling with Cassandra, for example, than some providers like even SQL database. I mean, I can use vNodes and automatically they will do the handshake and do the load balance with quotes, load balance for me automatically. So that's why I can see several finance using Explorer Cassandra more and more. And that's why I decided to put some chapters covering Cassandra in details. I mean, how to use the user defined type, because there are tricks that. People still believe, okay, it's like a one-on-one relationship. No, don't do that. Don't try to do relationship in the application layer. Don't try to create links because a huge mistake. Explore more the query-driven way. I mean, I want to retrieve that information. Modeling through this way. And you have a huge amount of this kind of thing on Cassandra. I mean, you have a lot of books around Cassandra as well.
Yeah. And that's a good point you bring up too about, you know, Cassandra's maturity level where it's, I mean, it's been a thing now for, I mean, it's been around for like 15 years. I think if you look at everything going all the way back to, you know, like 2008 or so. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is something that we've seen recently too in one of the user surveys that that Patrick McFadden just did actually. There are people out there who have clusters that have been running continuously for more than 10 years. So I mean, you're absolutely right. The maturity level with Cassandra is definitely there for sure. For sure.
The main point here for me is I kind of enjoy my weekends.
Right. You don't want to get paged or called. Yeah.
It might sound weird, but the person who said that enjoy to do deploy on Friday, enjoy the weekends in the same sentence, but that's true. And then Cassandra has this huge amount of maturity, the documentation, even some design ideas. In the book that I wrote, I put several reference what that is exists, and then include with my experience.
Yeah,
the idea is not to replace anything else in the book. That's why I usually enjoy to put reference. Okay, read this. There's the documentation that is amazing. It become every day even better and better. Explore that, and I include more about okay, the UDT, how to use, how I did and become more accessible and easy to use and understand, and things like that.
Yeah. So you know, one thing that you know your book talks about quite a bit too is the DTOs, the data transfer objects. Can you explain, you know, a little bit about like, you know, how these relate to you know, like cloud native services and, you know, kind of their role in the architecture?
Yes. The idea is more around modern architecture, right? I mean, you usually go to hexagonal model or even try to isolate the entity through the database modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we also try to isolate what go through the UI or the REST API.
Right.
And data transfer object can help you. So you can explicitly say that what's coming out through your domain. For example, I do have my user entity, and I want to make sure that what's getting out is the user, the leak name, but not the password. When I do have the DTO, I can explicitly say, okay, this user DTO will have this field, and then do the conversion through these fields. So basically you can use DTO through UI and your entity, and also to your entity and your database when it makes sense. And this related to the modern application is especially because first, isolating is much easier to know what's going on or what part of your application needs to change. For example, given I do have my hexagonal model here, I want to keep my entity intact, but I want to have factoring my Cassandra modeling because I did a mistake. For some reason, I did the relationship.
Oh, sure.
What can I do? I can change the modeling if it all change my entity if I do, for example, the hexagonal model. Or explaining about UI, I can do versions. So the version number one has one kind of information. The version number two has another kind of information. So with DTO, I can isolate the UI, the entity, and the data modeling. Of course, it may vary of the application, the architecture, and so on. You can have both. So isolate the UI, entity, in database, or just one where you isolate entity UI with DTO, or sometimes none.
Right. You know, it's interesting you mention, you know, maybe creating like different versions, you know, of the UI and being able to support that with a DTO strategy. I've seen that done a lot, you know, obviously, you know, in like the API service layer, you know, the idea is that when you introduce what would be breaking changes to a service, it's better to create a new version of it as opposed to, you know, breaking everyone who's using your service. But I've never heard of that strategy used with UIs, but that really does make sense when you put it that way. Yeah.
Yes, it saves a lot of time. I mean, you know, for some reason, in the past, I tried to use the same ANT to the UI, but I need to refactoring, you need to do something like that. And when you do have DTO, you are able to refactor the ANT if not impact the view. And you can also change the view if without impacting the ANT. So right. It's a win-win situation. I enjoy it a lot, especially when my API is consumed by a lot of people. I mean, several teams. It's not easy to say, okay, I'm going to break this point in the next deploy.
Right, right. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, Ottavio, as we finish up here, you know, how would you summarize the critical takeaways, you know, that readers and our listeners, you know, can expect from your book, and, you know, maybe some of the insights that you gained from writing it?
Oh, nice. So my first advice is around the book is one good way to learn and understand better the persistence layer inside the Java application and the impact of designs and system designs. I mean, the repository again, data transfer objects, the mapper against driver. What is the impact if I decide to use oriented objects programming instead of using data oriented programming? I mean, right now everybody's talking about this, right? But that is the impact if you do this way. There are consequences to be closer to the business with DD or close to the database. How can I deal with that? Mm-hmm. Understand better the flavors of NoSQL database. Understand better the impact of mapping through reflection and so on. So hopefully you will enjoy the book, and hopefully I help you to understand better the universe, the huge universe that is inside the persistence layer, and try something else than a relational database like Cassandra. If I got those points for you, I'm super happy to help you with this book.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Hey, and I just want to say I'm excited that today I can actually go out and order it, and you know, with the way Amazon works, you know, maybe I'll get it by like Monday. But I'm excited to go ahead and read through this one. For sure.
That's nice. I'm glad. So hope you enjoy. Hope the audience will enjoy. And I am one shot of distance with Twitter, with LinkedIn. Just go through Ottavio Java and GitHub as well.
So, hey, everyone. Ottavio, this has been really great. It's always awesome having you on the show and getting to talk to you. Folks out there listening, Ottavio's new book is called Persistence Best Practices for Java Applications, and it is available as of today out on Amazon. So, hey, Ottavio, thank you so much for coming on again.
That's my pleasure. Bye. <All right.
laughs> Hey, thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.